This is Twit.
Yeah, here's an arena right here. So okay. You can see, you know, it's not a very big size speaker. And what's really neat about these is this is actually a stereo loudspeaker. So a lot of the other speakers in this category, in this, you know, multi-room wireless space, the speakers of this size that they're offering is mono. And I think that's kind of crazy that you're having, you know, 21st century wireless connectivity producing a 1950s mono sound. Whereas,
good point.
Yeah, exactly. And the problem is, you know, the general public, when they're going to the store, they don't understand that. They're just saying, oh, this is a wireless speaker. And it sounds pretty good, but you don't get any of the stereo listening experience because they're mono. And so then you have to, go buy two speakers. But then, you know, obviously that's twice as much cost and also twice as much real estate. And there's many places where you want to put a speaker where you just have barely enough room for one. For example, like a kitchen countertop, which is, you know, very, you know, special space for, you know, appliances and cutting boards and everything like that. The last thing you want to do is having a bunch of speakers everywhere. So with one of our speakers, you can actually have a nice big stereo listening experience through, the advent of our Trillium technology of upmixing the two-channel stereo into the three channels and having coming out the three sides.
That's what I'd love for you to talk about next is this Trillium technology, which was first introduced in your Bluetooth speakers, and now you're using it here as well. How can you possibly get a good stereo image, good stereo separation from a single box like that?
Well, we're doing it a little different than some of the other speakers that are, you know, claiming stereo, where they have a left driver and a right driver a few inches apart. With what we're doing, the Trillium is actually looking at, you know, what's kind of common and what's different between the left and the right channels, and is then and is doing that selectively based on the frequency band. And it's then, you know, sending and directing it to the respective left and right channels such that the sound waves from the three channels actually blend in air and mix and create kind of a virtual left-right speaker outside the box. And so
What we're looking at here, those of you who are looking at the video can see kind of a diagram of what's going on here. That small little black rectangle in the center sitting on the coffee table is the speaker itself. And what you're claiming is that the quote-unquote virtual speakers are actually out beyond the physical confines of the cabinet itself, right?
Exactly. And it works, you know, together with your room and such that the end result when you are listening to it, you actually get this perception of having, you know, left, center, right imaging. You have, you know, a nice sound stage with width and depth that reminds you of a traditional stereo system. It's not, of course, exactly the same as a left-right pair of speakers, but it gives you, you know, a very similar type of experience, like you're getting, you know, a nice big spacious sound in the room. And what's cool about it is because the speakers are, you know, the left and the right are virtual, you don't have the same comb filtering like you do with a traditional pair of speakers. So with a traditional pair of left and right speakers, you usually sit in the center and you get a nice phantom center image of the vocalist singing. But the minute you move your head to the right, well, now that image doesn't stay where it was. It's now actually starting getting closer to the, you know, the right speaker, or you move your head to the left and it's to the left speaker.
Isn't that going to happen here too, though?
No, because we have the center is coming predominantly out the center channel driver. And so when you when you're sitting and listening, you can be sitting either in the front, you know, head on, or off to the left or off to the right, and the center image will always still be in the center, and then you'll have a nice big sound field around it. And so what this gets us is a much wider listening area for the whole family to enjoy it.
Tell us a little bit more about Trillium and how it works. You were starting to say something about how you identify what's common to the right and left channels, and I guess what's not common in terms of frequencies or parts of the signal.
Exactly. So we're looking at what's common and what's different between the channels. And, you know, the ear is and the brain is you pick up spatial cues primarily, you know, in the mid-range and treble. And so that's where we're looking at what's going on and correlated and uncorrelated between the channels, and then feeding that to the three channels. And then we actually have, in the low frequencies, all three channels are working in unison, and that's how we're able to get, you know, the good deep bass out of the speaker of that size.
Mm-hmm. So if you've got two signals or two elements that are identical in the right and left, do those get then rerouted to the center, or are they also coming out the right and left?
They would be predominantly routed to the center, but the low frequencies would also come to the left and the right.
I gotcha. Okay. And then what's different about the right and the left would come out of the right or left, depending on where it is.
Exactly. And so, you know, if you look at, you know, what's called like, you know, left minus right, right minus left, that's what's kind of getting redirected to the different channels. And again, it's going on predominantly in the mid-range and the treble, where you hear the spatial cues. And then at the low frequencies, where the bass is often, you know, kind of mixed in mono to begin with, we unify it and have it come out all three channels such that they can work together with the radiators in the arena and get the, you know, a very powerful bass response and, you know, big dynamic range out of the speaker.
That must take some pretty serious DSP power to do what you're talking about.
It's taken a lot of time because, you know, when we first started on the Trillium concept with the Bluetooth speakers, the goal was to produce a speaker with a big sound from the small singular size. And so we thought about it, and I said, well, I think I have some ideas how to do that from, you know, some previous experience I have as a hobbyist. And so we started, you know, prototyping it originally, you know, on a breadboard with op amps and resistors and capacitors and making a simple circuit.
I remember then, doing that, yeah.
Exactly. And so we proved it out that way, and then from there migrated it over to DSP. And so it's not just, you know, doing the processing. You also have to do the equalization such that all the channels are, you know, reproducing the frequency range appropriately. And so it's kind of a challenging system to tune because you don't really have a traditional, you know, left channel measurement and right channel measurement. You're doing some, you know, anechoic style measurements as well as a lot of in-room measurements and listening and trying all different types of music, listening environments and just keep adjusting the DSP settings such that it always sounds, you know, correct and natural. We have some nice hi-fi speakers here, like some, you know, BBC LS35s that we use for reference, and have some old Sleshens and others that we use to kind of make sure that, you know, we're trying to provide a very good, you know, top audiophile type of experience with the speakers.